Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 35 of the Limitless TCG Podcast, the podcast all about competitive Pokemon. I am your host, Connor Hayward, and joining me, as always, is Robin Schultz. How are you doing?
Hey, doing good. It's been a busy week, but yeah, so all good.
It's a busy week, but it's actually the first time in a while that we've recorded 2 weeks in a row, so we're getting better. We're getting back on track.
Didn't we record like 2 weeks ago? I actually don't know.
I uploaded the YouTube video last week, so maybe people think it was maybe we're getting away with it. But nope, we are back. There's some interesting stuff, not really like Pokemon related directly, some of it, but there's actually some really cool stuff this week. But before we get into it, if you enjoy the podcast, you can support us by leaving a review over on iTunes to make us easier to find. Or if you're feeling generous and would like to support Limitless as a whole, goes into a lot of projects that we do. Especially, I guess Robin can technically use some of the stuff as well for the project he's been working on. Check us out over on patreon.com, LimitlessTCG. We are also supported this week, and as we have been for the last few weeks now, by Card Market, the largest online... Calling them an online card retailer feels like underselling them. They sell everything TCG-related, and it's amazing. Like...
I call it a marketplace, not really a retailer, right?
But check them out
if
because they're really good.
And you want to buy cards, it's like the place to go. It's there's no real competition, I guess. It's just like you just go there, right?
Yeah, well, it's just cards. I need a card for my deck. Open Card Market, buy the card, add it to my thing, done. And it's better price than anywhere else you're going to get it. And it's also really good because obviously with Vivid Voltage soon, there will be pre-orders soon, I guess, for new set. So, you know, treat yourself. Link in our description because it shows up on our stats. So it makes us look good. But we've had an interesting week. Have you played much this week? I know I definitely haven't.
I actually haven't. I have watched some streams like while doing other stuff, but I haven't actively played the game because I was like, whenever I had time, I was basically working on the new project that we just launched last week, last Saturday actually. Was actually the first time we like, there was the Limitless tournament again, not on the same scale as before with our qualifiers and everything, but still, it's a tournament organized by Limitless. And it's on a new website, which I think is pretty cool. It's made specifically for Pokemon TCG tournaments. And yeah, I've been working on it for like the past 3 months or so, basically since the end of the first Limitless online series. And yeah, well, of course, it's not like completely done yet, but I think it's already pretty cool. And yeah, we are doing like, for now, we're doing weekly tournaments with 100 codes as prizes. So nothing too big, but yeah, still think nice tournaments for especially for European players because it's a better time for those than like all the American tournaments that are usually like in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's a really cool website. Listeners don't know, but after the podcast is recorded, me and Robin often end up staying on the call for like another hour or two or three, just chatting about other stuff. And it's really interesting seeing like the development. And like I basically had like regular updates on the development of the project, which is actually super cool to see. Like, and I think it's an amazing website because it's not like most other games don't have the luxury of having a purpose-built website for them. Right, so, you know, if you're playing a game, like, okay, admittedly Smash has Smash functionality stuff built in, but a lot of other websites don't have the ability to choose these, like, this level of detail and stuff in the setup, and it's actually really neat. It's designed for Swiss, which the vast majority of other ones struggle with somewhat, like, they don't really understand multiple rounds of, like, phases of Swiss. It had to all be done manually for the Limitless events.
And on our sides, players can't actually drop because Like in double elimination, you don't need that, but in Swiss tournament, it's really important that players mm-hmm. can drop off the tournament when they want. And yeah, like a lot of things like that, which especially from the organizer's side, makes it much easier to run tournaments this way. And while right now there's only small tournaments, the goal, of course, is to get to the same size as the tournaments we ran before. Just this time, it's hopefully much easier to do that. Because, for example, decklist submission is just... players can submit the decklist on the site. They don't need to go to like many different sites to register. And the decklist is actually also checked immediately. Like if it isn't 60 cards, or if it contains like card that's not in the format, the website just like immediately says, yeah, those cards like can't be in the stack. You need to submit, like the decklist is not correct. So if it really makes it much easier from the organizer's side, like from the organizer's point of view, and really excited for like future tournaments on the platform.
Yeah, I mean, I half had my computer on Saturday. I was becoming old on Saturday is basically what happened. It was my birthday, so I missed the actual event. But I kind of kept an eye on Discord a little bit throughout the day. And it was kind of cool to see like everyone's feedback has been super positive. It's designed to be super user-friendly from the player's perspective. But obviously we're talking about it from the Limitless event side as well. That's not necessarily the plan. Like we're not going to necessarily keep it to ourselves. We are willing to share potentially. You know, once it's ready, it's not ready. Like it's still in the testing phases, but that would be amazing.
I think it's almost ready to be used by others as well. Like there's really just a couple details missing. Just like have to think about how to do that. But I hope we can get the other organizers that run tournaments to put their tournaments on there as well. And what would be really cool there about that is that now everyone who wants to play in an online tournament, they can just go to that one place and then see all the tournaments like just right there, and can choose from like a tournament that fits their schedule. Whereas right now, like there's no real good way to get like an overview of what online tournaments there are. Like you kind of have to be told by someone that there's an online tournament somewhere and then get given a Discord link, which is not very convenient. You need to be very connected, I feel like, to actually know all those online tournaments. Like you need to follow the right people, do the right accounts. Whereas if we had that one platform where all or like at least most of the tournaments are run, that would be made much easier for everyone if they like just to find tournaments and to register for them.
Well, yeah, like my idea, like my dream for that would be like the homepage is basically just a calendar, you know, has a big calendar where there's a block per event start time or whatever, and if you want to just select from tournaments, it's not a list, it's a calendar, and you can go, oh cool, I have some time on Saturday around this time, what's available, click, oh cool, I'll play that one. Like that's the kind of the aim, right? Is to make sure that if people want to play, they can play, and it's easy for them to do so. So we haven't mentioned the URL, by the way. We're talking about this like thing, but we haven't actually mentioned how people find this website and sign up for the tournament. It's play.limitless.tcg, right?
Yeah. So like limitlesscg.com, but with play in front of it.
Yeah. So play.limitlesstcg.com. I'll put a link in the description of the episode as well, just to make sure it's somewhere in case we want to find it. But definitely worth checking out.
First tournament was on Saturday, and the next one will be this Friday. And then we'll have another one Saturday after that. And by that point, I hope we will also have some other tournaments on there. But yeah, really not sure about that. Of course, depends on how... like if other organizers want to try it, but I really think it would make their life much easier with like this whole organizing thing. So I don't think there's much reason to not try it out.
Mm-hmm. So will be really interesting. It's also like from my perspective, I like a stat. All right, I like my numbers and some graphs. It's kind of my job. So I'm thinking, cool, we now have potentially a big old database of like all the matchups. Who played who, when, with what deck, what cards were in each of these decks. And there's a lot of potential there for some cool behind the scenes number crunching and potential for content as from like as a result of it, of like, oh, this deck's win rate is up this week in this matchup because of this card was included or whatever. Like, there's a lot of potential for interesting analysis. And it's also things that I know other games have for their online clients is a big old database and stats thing that you can explore to kind of figure out the meta and like read what's actually doing well. And having the potential to do something like that is really cool. I need to brush up on some of my data analysis skills. It's been a little while with such a potentially messy data set. But will be interesting. Kind of more information available to people that, you know, is beyond the simple format like, oh, it's 28% ADP pie chart, because that's only so much of the story.
Yeah, like there's a lot of options, because I mean, everything that could be done in theory, I mean, I could edit if enough people are interested in it, if I have time to work on it. So that's really not like not much that could not be done, which is like an exciting thought, right? Like, you could have like on the side without any additional work, you could have like, I don't know, like for every single deck that was played, like the win rates against all the other decks. Currently, there's already a meta analysis built in. So when someone submits a deck, there's some rules in the background that then assign that deck list to some archetype or deck. And then based on that, there's an automatic meta analysis. So once the tournament starts, you can just go on meta game and it shows you how much percent is what deck. So like currently, if someone wants to create a pie chart for a tournament, they have to go through every list, make a click on every list, categorize it, and then add it up and everything. But with this website, it's, you don't have to do anything, it's just there. And this is, yeah, this is just the beginning. There could be even more data. Like, it's not an immediate priority, but it's possible. Like, we have all the match data on there. We have like, we have all the pairings and everything. We have we know what decks there are, so there's a lot that could be done.
Well, the biggest thing here is the level of control, right? Like, with other platforms, no matter, even if you're talking to the devs or like have people who can help you, like we did for the Limitless qualifiers, right? We had a guy from Smash working with us. There's only so much control that you can still have, right? Because it's someone else's platform. Here, Robin has the keys. So,
like, for the first one, we Smash and Arcanine together, they got the job done, right? The tournaments were a success, I'd say. But some things were just pretty annoying to deal with as an organizer. Like, even something simple like the registration number that was entered into the, like, with the registration. We couldn't cross-check if the registration number is correct, or, like, if it exists, or even if a registration number has the right length, because then they would have to change, like, a lot of stuff that's connected to that on, like, on the Smash website in some way, and it was just not, like, possible at that time. And now, if we want any kind of functionality, it can be done. There's, like, there's really no reason for it not to be, except, like, time, I guess, but it can probably be done if it's something that would be useful for either the organizers or the players.
Yeah, it's exciting. Potential for lots of big tournaments as well. And hopefully, one of the nice things that we can do is help grow the turnout for these tournaments, right? Because what you end up getting is like the cross-pollination almost, right? Of someone plays in one online event but hasn't heard of this other one. Well, if it's all on one platform, potentially they all hear it more, and then like the overall community can get a little bit bigger. So should be really interesting. I also haven't played any Pokemon this week. I am following the Players' Cup, but I am not playing in it yet. Still not entirely convinced I'm going to. Because it's been interesting, like, following, like, people's runs, and, like, some people are having a lot worse luck than others, or, like, a lot worse results than others, because it's obviously not always luck. But there are players that you'd expect to be doing really well who are struggling, and then people going, oh, ADP's been winning loads of games, and ADP hasn't been winning a load of games, and everyone's cottoned on to everyone is playing, or was playing, ADPization. That a lot of people have recently, from what I can tell, according to Twitter, switched to Luke Metal. Zacian is the counter.
Yeah, it felt like Luke Metal Zacian got really popular, especially like the past week.
Yeah. Well, it kind of makes sense, right? Because in a format dominated by ADP, it is the deck probably with the easiest, well, ADP and Eternatus. It's like the deck with like some of the best counterplay, because they're both fairly easy to disrupt with the GX attack and a big wall. So I kind of see it.
I would say that Zacian Luke Metal is a really good deck on its own, similar to like just ADP and Eternatus, and it has a good Eternatus matchup, but against ADP. I think if an ADP player has a Tooth Scrapper, then I don't think it's favored for Luke Metal at all. Probably rather, slightly unfavored. So I don't know if it's really a counter to ADP. I think it's just with the deck is pretty good. I mean, it has Zacian, which is still an incredible card. And Luke Metal is really good as well. So, yeah, I don't think it's really like an ADP counter. I think it's just really good on its own. I'm not really sure what people are playing to counter ADP specifically these days. It's just really hard deck to counter. Like, you can play, you can try to beat it with green stacks. I think that's like the best approach. Like, just decks that don't put down any Dedenne or Crobat. But yeah, it's just ADP is a really good deck, so it always has a decent chance. It doesn't really get just straight up beaten by anything, which is like I would say its main strength, that it just doesn't really have any horrible matchups.
Yeah, I mean, if everything is 50% plus, or you know, that's basically where it sits. There's nothing that's particularly unfavored for it. So if you're favored against, or favored or even against the whole format, it's normally quite a safe deck to take to these tournaments. And I think a big difference that I have seen, at least watching tournaments for the Players' Cup, is in the first one, it was kind of hard to tell who was trying to qualify and who was just playing a tournament, right? Like, there'd be a few names that I'd start recognizing after queuing in like a bunch of tournaments of like, it's always the same handful of people I'm playing against. But some people might just be playing for, you know, they want the pack or they want something else to do and they fancy playing a tournament. Which means that, like, the level of seriousness or, like, the competitive viability of some of the decks that changed a lot. Like, I used to see all sorts. So having a deck that's pretty favored against everything is fine. This one has gone to the point where you're only going to queue with a ticket if you're trying to qualify. That's the only reason why, or you wanted to know what a ticket did, I guess. Which means that you get to the position where you don't want to take any auto losses because the points are so much more valuable now. So you take a solid deck no matter what because you don't want to just lose round one. Even just winning round one, every tournament you qualify and getting the 2 points is probably enough to put you kind of close. Like, that's potentially 100 points, which is almost certainly safe. So you can't really afford to just lose when you flip the card over round one because your return on tickets is too low then.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I think these tournaments are not that easy overall. I see a lot of people on Twitter getting like sad or like saying the format sucks and everything after they lose a few of those. But there's 8 players that play in each of those, and most of them are probably at least somewhat competitive. I think it's hard to really expect to win or like reach the finals. Like, of course, it's possible to be like somewhat consistent in them, but I would think they are much more difficult than the average, like than the regular PTCGO tournaments. So I don't think it's very unusual to just lose in the first round, maybe like once or twice in a row. It's really nothing to stress about, I think. And you can still qualify, even if you maybe like feel like you're getting a bit unlucky for a few of those. I think that's fine.
There was an article or a post a few days ago that I remember seeing. I think was it Stefan Eriksson who wrote it? I think it was about...
Stefan made a video.
Yeah,
What about the expected cutoff?
Yeah, which is actually a really interesting thing to think about, because like we know how many points people are going to get on average per tournament, because we know what the points yields are for each position. We know that the total number of points per tournament is a fixed thing. So basically, if you can guess the number of people trying to qualify and using all 50 tickets, you can calculate the rough cutoff. I think it may have actually been a little high in most cases. I think the points cutoff, at least for Europe, is probably a little lower than he worked out. I think it's going to be like nearer 60 points.
Yeah, I'm really not sure. I think at this point we have about 1,000 players in Europe that played. I'm not sure how much higher this is going to go. I would think that most people that want to participate would already have started by now. But then again, I'm planning to play all 50 and I haven't played a single one yet.
Right, what are you doing Saturday, Robin? We'll just start on Saturday. We'll just queue all day because I'm going to do the same.
I'm actually considering playing some online tournaments by other organizers on Saturday, like starting this weekend, and then going to Grinding Players Cup next week. Because I'm kind of scared that at some point, maybe like last few days, it might get really hard to even find opponents if everyone already has grinded through their 50 tickets. It doesn't come to that, but it might get difficult to even find enough players to fire off these events.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Yeah, that's a good
but
point.
I want to get them done, if possible, next week.
Mm-hmm.
That's... When is the end? I'm not even
I don't
sure.
even know. I've just accepted...
But I think we still have we should still have at least 2 weeks or
so. I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
I think so. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if that happens, because people are already saying that the queue times are kind of long. Because again, you're effectively trying to take the top player from... Like, the way that I imagine it kind of works is like it's the people who tend to do well at like every challenge or every cup in their local area. They're mostly the people trying to qualify. And there's not that many of those people. And if they've all used their tickets, by the end of the month, there's just going to be no one left to draw from. So it's only going to get worse.
But also, probably not everyone is going to use all 50 of their tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And then there should be a lot of people that just try to get rid of their last tickets like towards the end. And not everyone will play through all their tickets, but... Like I'm hoping it will be fine, but of course there's a risk with waiting until the end. But
yeah.
I think it will be fine.
I mean, I don't think many people who are going to qualify without using all their tickets, because if there's 1,000 people playing just for Europe, you kind of assume it's easy to think a quarter of those will have used all their tickets in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, most people will probably have played all 50.
Mm.
But it's possible to qualify without, right?
Yeah.
I think Todd has like over 90 points and he still has almost half his tickets left, I think.
Yeah, but that's because he's playing a broken deck. I actually sat down to watch the stream just before recording, playing Green Center Scorch with the Magneton. Looks really good. Like, I mean, any deck that I've ever seen Todd play looks good because Todd's playing it. He has that effect on decks. But it does actually seem really interesting. Seems to have like really good game plans against most matchups. It's actually a really interesting. I actually might try and play a couple of games with it after we record to see if it's a deck I could maybe play for the Players Cup qualification stuff.
Yeah, the deck is really cool. Gives you a lot of control over the games. So the Magneton is such a cool ability. Mm-hmm. And like, the side effect just helps you because of reset step, and you get three supporters, can fire off Lieutenant Search immediately, play a Greens and a Welder or any combination of supporters you want. That's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really... It's also got like the ability to stamp to one, which... So it plays no Dedenne, so there's no easy like or, like three prizes for ADP, but then can almost always stamp to one late game and then take a KO. And the way decks are built right now, not many things can survive being stamped to one against the Center Scorch that's set up to start taking one-hit knockouts. So I have questions about the Kabu inclusion that he's playing, but, you know, why not? I guess you get into that situation often enough late game that you just want to draw eight, so...
Kabu's interesting in green stacks. In most decks, the card is just garbage, right?
Mm-hmm.
It will... You don't ever want to have only one Pokemon in play, but in a green stack, you don't play other support Pokemon. You usually have one main hitter line and then one support Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always just start with one Pokemon. And the Kabu is really just to give you more outs to have a good turn one.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, of course you would prefer to have a green turn one, but if you don't have a greens, then a Kabu is probably like the second best thing. It gives you eight new cards, and it's very likely you find another Pokemon mm-hmm. and like maybe greens for the next turn with it.
Yeah, it's basically like old Lily was, right? Like, it's all about like just giving you better outs for turn one by getting the eight card hand if you need it turn one to get everything set up and ready.
Yeah, and even mid or late game, a green stack will very frequently end up with only one Pokemon in play.
Mm-hmm.
So even then you can use it as a hand refresh. Maybe even with a Lieutenant Search, then Kabu, then you can still play Greens or Welder. Yeah, I think the card is pretty good in that deck. And it's probably better than Professor's Research. Because in a Greens deck, especially in the list Todd has been playing, you really do not want to discard anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because all your resources are really important. And Kabu gives you one more card than Research anyway. So it's not that much reason to not play it over Research.
Yeah, it's an interesting... Well, the biggest thing is it's not a card that's been played outside of this, but it's also really the only time, like, it's the first greens deck that's done well since the decks come out, or the cards come out, so why would it have done well prior to this, I guess? But
yeah, and another greens deck, another greens fire deck that has been getting kind of popular recently is the Charizard Bryxen.
Yeah.
I know Azul has been playing it for his past, I don't know, three or so online tournaments, and has been doing alright. And in our Limitless tournament, there was Danny Altavilla, who got ninth, bubbled by like 1%, also with Charizard Bryxen. And that deck is really cool as well.
Well,
it's
it gives a lot of choice, greens, right? It's even more choices because you get more searches, and that's really cool.
Yeah, with the Heat Fire energy and Big Charm, you can get up to 320 HP, which makes it not that easy to one-hit KO for Eternatus and also most other decks. So, yeah, you usually like live a turn, and with 180 attack, you twit KO every VMAX. So the stats are just kind of good. Also, fire typing is, of course, favorable against because of how much metal there is. And just getting to search for three cards every turn, it's... I mean, but it's such a good effect, of course. So, really interesting deck. And yeah, I think it makes sense for the meta to go a bit more greens heavy, because ADP has been I guess probably still overall the most popular deck, and its game plan is basically KOing Dedenne. So why don't you try to build decks without Dedenne? That makes sense, right?
Yeah, it's a nice way of avoiding that problem from coming up. From a balance perspective, if a card is able to force people to build their decks in such a drastically different way, every other trading card game would call this a problem, and they would do something about it. Not reprint a supporter that potentially gives a ridiculous turn one combo for ADP because they were like, oh, well, we banned Belibur and Bryson Man, so our replacement is just better for ADP. Though that combo is
fair, I think
weird.
That's new card. I've seen a lot of people saying the card is really good in ADP, but I don't really see that being the case. You literally have to discard five cards from your hand, so you have to discard your whole hand turn one to get Zacian, Dedenne, and Crobat or something. Of course, the effect is nice, getting to search all your Pokemon, but you don't want to discard all your whole hand, which could have cards like Metal Saucer, Energy Switch, and all those other cards that you would want to use instead of discarding. So it could maybe be an option in ADP decks, but I don't know. I mean, we're not getting this card
for ages,
in a while,
right?
Anyway, so
yeah, exactly.
Not much reason to think about it, I guess.
Yeah, but no, it was quite entertaining seeing that card being printed and just like, oh, really? Okay.
I don't understand why they didn't make those cards at least similar to the banned ones.
Who knows?
The Miss Mages is just completely pointless. They could have, I don't know, given it I don't know, said you can't use it on your first turn and only draw six or something. That's what I would have thought they do, just to make it the worst version of the card. Which in this Mage's case wouldn't really make sense because is there any point in playing this Mages over Magneton right now without Mysterious Treasure in the format? But anyway,
yeah.
It's banned, so
doesn't matter. No, it
what,
is.
What can we do about that?
It is a bizarre little choice, and yeah, just clearly they just went, okay, well, what else can this card do that doesn't sound ridiculous?
It's just really weird. It's not a big deal or anything, but I was confused when I saw those new prints.
Yeah, but no. So the deck that we were talking about, that Green Center Scorch, there's actually some other cool news that we wanted to discuss, was you can find out more about that deck over on a new article website / like content space for the Pokemon trading card game. It feels kind of weird to be promoting another content creation platform because Limitless kind of is one, but everyone should go check out it's Channel Fireball, right? Make sure I got the name right. So they have hired basically like the best combination of writers I think you could possibly have landed for the trading card game. Like, there's one or two like article writers that aren't on there, but when you have the likes of Tord Reklev, Stefan Ivanov, Xander's there, Azul is there. It's like, okay, this is quite a good list of people. So they started up loads of new articles over there. So if anyone fancies reading some articles, you have to pay. It's like $5 for the subscription.
Yeah, $5 a month. And yeah, also, that's really cool news, actually, because before that, all those writers were writing for all kinds of different sites, which the subscription cost was like at least $10 per site. And now you have them all on one site and it only costs $5 a month, and you get at least for now, they posted one new article every day, which is a lot more than other sites have been doing so far. So that looks like a really cool thing, and I hope they're able to keep that up, because I think it's a very positive thing for the community overall.
Well, that was, I remember seeing discussion like back when a lot of the article websites were at their prime, going, why do Pokemon websites lock their content behind paywalls compared to like a lot of other games and communities are almost more open about their deck lists in some cases. And there was a lot of conversation of like, is the value good enough for some people? And I used to subscribe to a couple, and the reason why I stopped was because like inconsistent levels of uploads, and like there'd be like a 3-week gap where nothing would happen, and then you'd get 5 articles in a day. And I'm like, I mean, that's cool, but I wanted to read something whilst going to a cup, you know, like I wanted to have some content around in the meantime. And if they can keep this level of consistency, and like Channel Fireball are a big thing for Magic as well, so I'm assuming they have people who are like almost doing coordinating, right? It's not just like most websites, which were kind of like, oh, right when you want to sort of thing. Like, I assume that they're on some form of schedule of like, hey, like, can we have coverage on this soon?
I'm pretty sure most websites do have a schedule. Yeah, but this is just a lot more consistent and a lot cheaper. So, really cool, and we'll see what comes of it. But yeah, like you said, Channel Fireball is a really big name in Magic, so I would expect them to commit to this now. So yeah, that's good news overall.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, more content is great, right? And as much as I like watching a YouTube video, like I watch a deck on a YouTube, you know, like deck profile, or watching some gameplay or whatever, or like hanging out on Twitch streams, it's all good fun. But there is something about reading an article about a deck sometime, or like reading someone's thoughts on a format, or I haven't read Xander's yet, but he's posted his store list and I'm looking forward to it because he always writes really good articles. So they're like on my list of things to like, they're just nice to sit down and read them. Because I can kind of do that whilst I'm doing something else without having to worry as much.
For the Players Cup tournaments, I'm probably, at least for the first few, I'm just gonna take lists from there with all the advice they have there, and then just like go with it. I feel kind of prepared just reading that. But we're not here to advertise for Channel Fireball. Just like pretty cool news overall.
Yeah, more content is always good. So yeah, we've got tournaments coming up. We've got new set not too far away at this point. You know, it's time to start thinking about, do I want to buy the next, you know, am I going to be ordering a booster box of the next set? The answer is probably yes, because it's got a Pikachu in it.
Over the weekend, we actually had a really big tournament in Japan.
Oh,
which,
yeah, true.
Which included all the cards that we will get in our next set, but they didn't rotate, so the format is not the same we'll have. They still have all the cards from Ultra Prism on, so it's a different format, but the Colossal that's coming out in a set did really well, so that's probably also going to be a thing in our meta game. And like Pikachu VMAX had some placings, but that was with Electropaw and Thunder Mountain, so might be more difficult in our format.
Yeah, it was actually won. I'm just double checking. It was actually won by a Blacephalon,
Blacephalon with a bunch of other fire attackers and with Fiery Flint, so also not like a deck we can play here, but it's similar enough to current Blacephalon.
Did you catch any of the stream for it, by the way?
Yeah, I didn't watch the stream live, but I watched the featured matches on YouTube. they also uploaded all of them individually, which is really nice.
Yeah, it was a good stream. Obviously, if you don't understand the casters, You can just watch on mute. It's fine. But it's actually really, like, really nicely produced. And it's nice being able to watch IRL Pokemon again. Like, I didn't realize how much I missed actually seeing people playing the cards as opposed to just clicking around on their screen. It was actually really nice to watch.
What was really exciting was one round there was Tsukuyoshi Yamato, the first world champ from 2004. He played in the tournament and he was on stream. And I was like, cool, we get to see him play now. And then he donked his opponent and won.
We saw him play briefly. It was actually it was nice watching it. There is something different about the card game being in person and not just online, right? It's a card game. I have cards. I would like to use my bits of shiny cardboard occasionally and not just the digital copy.
Yeah, it's really cool to see that Japan already was able to get back to those big tournaments. Gives me hope that we will also maybe not have to wait like that long until we get tournaments as well. I mean, we'll probably have to wait a while still, right? But there's hope, right? It's possible, even in those times we have big tournaments.
I don't think it's gonna be for at least another 6 months personally, but who knows?
But hey, we have a new FF Online tournament, so
yep.
Until then.
Yep, right? Exactly. And it's also something that I'm hoping kind of happens out of all this anyway, is even if we do go back to real events, you know, the real life events, there's now much more of a community around the online events, and I'm kind of hoping that continues, right? Because there's just more opportunities to play Pokemon in a way that matter. And that's kind of cool if you can keep like the regional normal circuit plus the online circuit going at the same time. Is kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, because regionals are a pretty big commitment to go to a regional, right? You have to take, it's all weekend, you have to travel a lot. Compared to that, playing in an online tournament, even a big online tournament, is basically no commitment compared to that. So I definitely think that online tournaments will still have a place, even once we have real tournaments back. And yeah, I think we will continue running online tournaments even when that happens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, once the website's set up, anyone can run an event on it if they want to. So, you know, there'll definitely be something going on there, I imagine. But, okay. I think that was everything we were going to talk about this week. Pretty sure it was. So, do you have any shout-outs?
We should just skip that question.
Okay. My shout-out is actually a plug to the one and only Xander... Is it Vocic, if I'm pronouncing the surname correctly? Who has now joined Twitter. He was always the one that whenever you were talking about store, I wish I could tag on Twitter. Now I can. So everyone go follow him. It's just his name. This is that. So just go find him. Give him some love on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw it today. And he actually posted his current control list already. And also like a 5-tweet explanation of the most important points, so yeah, definitely give him a follow. He will probably post he always posted really detailed analysis of his decks after regionals and everything on Facebook, so he likes sharing his knowledge. So yeah, on Twitter he'll probably do the same. So yeah, if you want to learn about control, just go follow him.
Yeah. And it's always one of those things of like, once you read his explanation of how the deck works, either A, you can play it, or B, you can at least work out how you can beat it if you're struggling against it, sort of thing. So definitely worth checking him out. So with that, thank you very much, guys, for listening. And we will be back with more episodes at some point, whenever we decide to record. If it's in a week or two, who knows? So we'll see you next time. I'm hoping that my audio didn't cut off, because it looks like the recording